People love him already.
He's got the Rhode Island twang.
The long pass to Moore and a pin block from Martin.
Tune in to Cam's Corner.
He's going to make it here.
Draws the foul for another Rhode Island and one.
Podcast. He's got his own podcast.
It's good off the backboard and in.
On a break.
And we are back, guys. Welcome back to another episode of Campus Corner, the first episode in Joplin, Missouri, the new studio location for the time being. I just announced my arrival and I've started my first few days at KSN TV as a sports reporter and anchor. Funny enough, our guest today actually got his first on-air start at the same exact station. Kevin Ryan's now at Fox 2 in St. Louis. Kevin, thanks so much for joining me, man.
Cam, thank you for having me. I appreciate it, man.
Yeah, for sure, man. And like we mentioned before, we started recording. Drew Carter was a huge help in getting this connection off the ground. And I was super excited to find out that you actually started your on-air career in Joplin. But backtracking a little bit, you are from Queens, New York. So I do want to know, I love starting off every episode. Where did you find the passion for sports reporting and anchoring growing up in Queens, New York?
Yeah, well, for you got to be a sports fan. I was, you know, I grew up a huge fan of the New York Yankees, you know, I think, you know, when I was growing up in the early to mid 2000s as a, you know, young boy and teenager, you know, the Yankees were the team. They were the team in New York with Jeter and Pettit and Mariano Rivera, Posada, and then later on it was A-Rod and Giambi, and you know, those guys were like rock stars. So that, you know, of course, watching the games, listening to guys like Michael Kay do the games, John Sterling on the radio, you know, that stuff was a lot of fun to me. And then on top of that, me, my siblings love to watch the news. And my favorite segment was sports. And so on Channel 4 New York, of course, when I was younger, it was Len Berman. And then on Channel 7, it was Scott Clark. And then obviously later on, it's been a different revolving door of people in different channels. But of course, the gold standard and local news still is Bruce Beck, who's been doing sports in New York for a long time. So I grew up kind of idolizing that aspect of it. And so I always felt that I had the passion, the gift of the gab. My mom used to always say the gift of the gab. And so I went to pursue that. And that's why I'm sitting here today. It's kind of cool to see, you know, to say, like, you know, I was once a little kid kind of aspiring to be something like that. And I'm doing it. It's very humbling, I should say.
Yeah, it was a little bit different for me. I didn't find my knack for reporting and anchoring. And I did a lot of play-by-play stuff in college. I didn't really find that out until I got to college. It was more so when I knew that my high school career wasn't going to translate to college. I played a lot of basketball in high school. But for you, I mean, it was like a no-brainer, finding that out as a kid at a young age. So was Syracuse like a no-brainer to go to when you were looking at colleges?
You know, I didn't even know about Syracuse until I was a senior in high school. You know, I of course, you know, you from a sports person standpoint, you know the Orange, and you know they have a wonderful basketball program and led by one of the greatest college coaches of all time. And then, of course, you know, I was a Knicks fan, so I love myself some Carmelo Anthony, and of course. Yep. Everyone knows Carmelo Anthony led them to the title back in 2003, along with Jerry McNamara. So kind of household names, even if you're not necessarily invested in Syracuse and Syracuse University. So I didn't know about their big broadcast program. I actually was referred to it by a teacher, a guidance counselor of mine when I was in, going to school in Long Island City, Queens, New York. William Cullen Bryant High School was my alma mater. A guidance counselor, Dr. Montalvo, he was telling me about how Craig Carton, radio personality, now he's on Fox Sports and all that stuff. He's had a little bit of a infamous career, you know, with his dealings with the law and some troubles that he's had. But he told me about how Craig Carton went to Syracuse. And so then I went and I started looking it up and I saw all these people went to Syracuse and have had incredible careers. And so I said, I got to go to Syracuse. And so I originally didn't get in on the first round. I was waitlisted after applying. And I actually got into the one of the state schools in New York, Geneseo. And I took the trip to Geneseo and I committed there. So I was already committed to go to, and, make do of what I could, over there. I had money paid for, scholarships and grants and all that stuff, but my parents weren't going to have to pay much out of pocket, and I wasn't going to have to pay much out of pocket after school. But then I got in, I think it might have been late April, early May, I got the notice that Syracuse did accept me into at the it was a visual performing arts, communication and rhetoric. I said, and it was a new house, so I had to work my way in a new house, which I eventually did. But I convinced my parents to see if I can go and go to Syracuse, and so I completely decommitted from going to State University of New York, Geneseo, and decided to go to Syracuse University. Ended up getting a bunch of loans and grants, and it kind of handled itself. So awesome that I was able to do it. And then, of course, the rest is history. I go there, and we can get to all that stuff later, but it was a lot of fun.
Yeah, for sure. Piggybacking right off of that, you had to work your way into Newhouse, you mentioned. Talk about how your ambition was at the time to work your way into those systems and really shine as quick as possible to get the best opportunities as possible.
It didn't really make any sense as to why, Newhouse didn't accept. There was a lot of people that they did accept that didn't even know what they wanted to do. It was bizarre. I had a friend, we always talked about how, all these people were undecided, going into Newhouse. Well, I'm decided. I want to be a journalist. Like, what the heck is this about? And so yeah, I mean, I was motivated. I was always a good student, in high school, and so I just kind of buried myself into studying and all that stuff. It ended up being one of the highest GPAs, got the cutoffs in the history of inter transfers into the Newhouse school. So that I was pretty proud of, that I was able to make that threshold. That means you'd have to really bury yourself in the book. It was very competitive. A lot of people wanted to get in, and you couldn't get it in the application process, and so you had to work your way in, and even that wasn't a guarantee. So I'm just super blessed that that whatever whoever Lord you believe in, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ, but whichever Lord you believe in, that Lord was working for me in 2013, 2014. So it ended up working out.
Do you remember your first assignment, the first thing you got to cover, and the first time you really got acclimated on being on camera and things like that?
Yeah, so a background. So you go to so the student run television, Citrus TV, and so I actually emailed, there's a guy at Orange Television Network, the guy who ran it. That's the Syracuse University kind of owned or ran program. His name is Andy Robinson. So I email him. He's like a mentor to a lot of the people who are in leadership. And he he tells me, go, you have to email this girl. Her name's Heather Prusak. And of course, Heather now works in Rochester, New York, or should I say Buffalo, New York, where she's from. So the had a long career there already, over a decade. So I email her, and she says, come on down and help us out. That'd be great. And this is when like shows are just starting. And so I get down there, and I'm the first freshman to get down there and start working. And so it was before the general interest meeting. So I beat them to the general interest meeting. So that's how like excited I was. I was kind of a little overzealous. And so I go in, and the first thing they have me do is you go and you help out the shows and all that stuff. You learn how to edit video. They teach you how to edit video. They teach you how to do kind of all the behind the scenes stuff. And you do that for as much as you want for a semester. And then, it's a meritocracy. The student run, they want people to actually buy into what you're doing. And so into the whole deal. They don't want you to just come here and think you're gonna waltz in on air. And so the yeah, for me, I took that completely seriously. and just put my head down and worked really hard for a semester. And they were very kind, and they gave me an opportunity as a freshman to be on the air, which is, it's not necessarily rare, but usually it's reserved for someone who's an exquisite talent, someone who's a lot more further along than I was. I can tell you right now, whoa, was that humbling? That was they put me on the show called Q's Countdown as an analyst to talk about men's basketball, men's lacrosse. In the fall it would be football. So I go on there in the spring and I'm talking about men's basketball, and man, am I struggling! It was tough. I could barely say words, and this is the I got to be fair to myself. Think about it. In hindsight, 10, 11 years later, for me, this is the first time I ever been on camera, so I was so nervous. Like, and the lights come on, and you're just a different person. It's one of those deals where, and I'm sure the first time you did a podcast, you had no idea what you were doing, and now you've done a million of them, and you are about as proficient as anybody that does podcasts, right? So, like, for me, the first time I ever was able to do anything on camera, man, I was a wreck. And you can tell there's a video, it might still be up. It might have been my first ever appearance. And it's like a webisode. Citrus TV, Q's, I forget what year it is. I guess it's 2014. And I'm on there, and I got my hands folded like this, and so stiff, and I'm this big cheesy smile and everything. Like, it's cringy to watch. That was my first experience. And then I got to do some other things that semester too. I was able to go and cover a women's basketball game at Syracuse. They assigned beat reporters to go and cover the teams at the TV station. And then that semester, for whatever reason, one of the games, the girl who was there couldn't do it. So I went and I did that. So I got some experience doing that. Actually, I got to ask Quentin Hillsman, who was the coach at the time at Syracuse, there was a question. I was so nervous. I'm like, I wanted to ask a question. I'm looking, I'm like zeroing and looking right at him, like almost like this. Like, I want to ask a question. I want to ask a question. And I almost didn't do it. I was like, I'm not going to do it. I don't know. My question is going to be stupid. And he goes, "Hey, homeboy, you want to ask a question?" I was like, "Sure." So I didn't ask a question. So that's just my early on air experience. Someone who had never done anything like that before, had always watched people do it, and then actually going forth and doing it, man, was it humbling. But it was also super really cool, because then you finally have some things on tape that you can look at and you can study and go talk to other people and get critiqued. It was actually a blessing.
Oh, for sure. I mean, you talk about those first few moments being on camera. I mean, I look back at my, 'cause, so I went to Rhode Island College in Providence, and then I transferred to URI my junior and senior year. I was there. So looking back at those first few moments and how much you adjust and get better with reps and all that stuff, it's cool. And you mentioned like one of my first podcast episodes. Like I look back at that and I'm like, oh my God, I want to take it off the internet. But for me, it looks like you could just look back and see the progression and how much better and better you get with the reps. So I think that's a big thing too. And you meet so many new people. We mentioned Drew Carter a little bit earlier before we started recording. When you were a junior, he was a freshman. And one of the people that got this podcast off the ground, this connection off the ground as well. So just talk a little bit about him when you were a junior, how much you grew from your freshman year to junior year, seeing him come in, and then obviously now where he's at with the Celtics.
I was jealous of Drew right away. Drew came in and had this uber confidence. Of course, you man, he he's tall. What does he got to be? 6'1", six? I forget how tall he is. Whatever it is, here I am. I'm 5'5", pipsqueak. I can barely say anything on air when I'm starting, and here he is. He's rattling off stats and he's looking comfortable on air. They're giving him segments. And I was like, gosh darn it, man, what the heck did I do? I don't know what a kind of voodoo sauce that he was drinking when he was a kid, but I certainly did not get that. But no, super talented, and one of the good things about it is he's a really nice guy. And so you can root for someone to do well because they were so good. So yeah, the progression was good between freshman and junior year. That was great. And then being able to see someone who, like Drew, was very had very raw natural talent, that definitely gave me some motivation to step my game up and to be better, because then, you know, it was beneficial for everyone, if, you know, for our station, for your career, to be able to be pushed. And I think that you can say that, you hear athletes all the time when they talk about, you know, players on their teams, you know, they go up against one-on-one, if it's a football, it's a wide receiver and a cornerback, how much they make each other better. You know, I can certainly for sure say that because I met Drew Carter, that I am a better broadcaster today, because I was able to see someone who had much more raw natural talent do what he's doing. And then, I mean, look at the way his career has progressed. You know, one of the top sportscasters in Alabama when he first started out, and of course was doing his side stuff, play by play and everything, for, you know, ESPN Productions. And then, of course, you know, had plenty of connections, because he was so well connected at Syracuse University, and was able to make you know, those connections with people in the business and everything, and was able to get himself in to where now he's on SportsCenter, and where now he's doing you know, lacrosse and college basketball and football, and of course the Boston Celtics. So
yeah,
you know, it's really cool to see someone's career progress, especially when you know that it's like almost a no doubter that he was going to be good. So really cool to see.
Yeah, for sure. And it's inspiring, like you mentioned, someone close in age, doing what they're doing at a very high level. But again, for yourself, from Queens, New York, right out of school, you didn't start on air, but you started as a production assistant for SNY. I know you mentioned you're a big New York fan growing up as well. I know I said I was from Rhode Island, but same thing for me. Huge New York fan. Carmelo Anthony is probably my favorite athlete outside of Eli Manning. So big, big Knicks fan, because basketball is like my main sport, my bread and butter, especially the Knicks. But
it's him. He's going to do it. I think they're not only going to, well, for one thing, the 2000, I don't remember 2000. So that's the last time they went to conference, finally lost to Indiana. And so, like, I'm just hoping at some point they get there so I can actually see it in person. And then actually win it, go to the NBA Finals. What a concept. So, yeah, go Knicks.
That would be insane. And I saw that you have a following with Knicks Fan TV. I've been following them since the beginning of college as well. Do you have any kind of connection with CP? I saw that he follows you as well.
Yeah, you know, CP follows me, but, you know, all I know about CP is that the dedication that he's had to Knicks Fan TV. I'm strictly a viewer. I'm not a big knower of him. I'd be lying to you if I said so. But I admire what he and his team have done for so many years. I'm not sure how long you've been following Knicks Fan TV, but I remember when, like, one of the only ways you can find them was on Facebook. And so they would, and this is the 16 win Knicks. Like, this is those terrible teams in the late 2010s that, you know, you just wanted to shut your eyes. They were on the air about as long as they are now, with how good these Knicks teams are, talking to fans and talking about the games. I mean, they were really something that they, you know, they built up from the ground. And that's something that you can commend with whatever industry it is. And so I'm happy to see that his work has blown up, and it's also spawned a lot of different careers. Actually, Nicole Moss has become this superstar on CBS Sports and everything like that. And a lot of the guys that have been contributors on that have done things locally in New York too, which is really cool, because, you know, those are people who are looking out for each other. And I think that's the one thing in broadcast that I like, you know, is when you're surrounded by good people, those good people are going to be able to give back to you and get into them.
Yeah, for sure. It's amazing. And for yourself, coming from New York, being able to be around that as a youngin and see that prevail as well. Like you mentioned, they were doing that when the Knicks were winning 16 games a season. I actually didn't find out about them until around COVID, like 2020, 2021. But I've been riding with them ever since. And again, going back on your career path, SNY was your first gig out of school. It wasn't on air, but it was a production job. So talk about the mindset going out of, or graduating, I should say, and really trying to find your spot and your start in the sports industry.
Yeah, it was tough. Graduating, you didn't, I mean, I didn't have any leads. I didn't have any interviews. I had my laptop, which is now destroyed. But it had a free subscription to Adobe Premiere and a bunch of my footage that I put together in Reel. I sent out, I don't know, God knows how many applications. And finally, wasn't getting any bites. And so for a time I worked for the World Trade Center I sold tickets to the top of the Freedom Tower. That was interesting, going around New York City trying to convince people that I wasn't some sort of scammer. I ended up getting an interview with SNY. So I had a friend from Syracuse, Sarah Valenzuela. She actually became a writer for the Los Angeles Times for a while, too, covering the Los Angeles Angels. Really cool job. So she was working at SNY at the time as a production assistant, ends up getting let go. That I don't know why. But I asked her, I said, hey, look, I know you were working there for some time. Do you know people, if they're hiring, do you know if I can get in contact with anyone? And they gave me the coordinating producer's email. I emailed her, and then within minutes, I was called in for an interview. And so, wow. Of course, I was like, wow, this is great. And so, I had to go. I went to Puerto Rico to visit my family, came back, and had the interview, and then ended up getting the job. And that was super cool because I watched SNY as a kid. And so that was another one of those deals where, the right steps kind of played out for me. Not something you expect. You just expect to, give yourself a shot by being in the building. And then if they like you, you go and you perform. And so I went there and I just soaked it all in. You don't really do much as a production assistant. You do a lot of, in terms of on air, you're behind the scenes. They do give you a lot of creative freedom. So, we're building graphics and, all the, boards and full screens that go up on the air. For those who may not know, you ever seen a full screen of stats and saying, oh, Carmelo Anthony is this many points per game, this many assists per game, all that stuff. That's the stuff that we made, and that's the ideas that we contributed to the broadcast. So you were able to kind of, help editorially for the news programming, which is really cool. But I think the most beneficial thing for me was I was able to sit around and talk to the SNY talent that was there at the time. Their anchors, I mean, of course, there's some people who are still there, like Gary Apple, who was fantastic. Loved talking with him. I think he's a Syracuse guy, and Jonas Schwartz, Syracuse guy at the time, he was there at the time, but really cool. Doug Williams, who's a Brian Williams son, now works for Channel 2, I think, in New York, but at the time was the sports anchor there. Taylor Rooks, a lot of people know Taylor Rooks, she's blown up over the last few years, TNT, Amazon, Bleacher Report, and all that stuff. She's a superstar, and all those and others. Talking to them and picking their brains and watching them. I think that's the biggest thing, is watching how they go about their business, how they go about their craft, how they interact with their producers. How they figure out what the right questions to ask. I think that was the biggest thing that I learned for myself and that I took with my career. It was a tremendous opportunity to be able to be immersed in a newsroom that understood what it meant to do a good show. And boy, did I love my time over there. It wasn't long. I think it was 8 or 9 months, but the 8 or 9 months changed the progression of my career. It actually gave me the fire in my belly to try and go after jobs, that were on air. I was pretty down on myself for a little while because I wasn't getting any bites. You know, I figured that I was just going to be kind of, doing stuff behind the scenes forever. But I still had the fire in my belly because I was talking to people who were doing it and who had trajectories that ended up becoming similar to mine. And so just super cool, super, super cool.
Yeah, actually, you kind of answered one of the questions I was going to ask, is like, how or what was the biggest thing that you learned? You mentioned, again, just networking, talking to people that do what you wanted to do at the end of the day. Not to knock production or anything like that, but you really wanted to be on air, and that's what you went to school for. That's what you worked on day in and day out at Syracuse. So that brought you to your first on-air job in Joplin, where I'm currently at, which is pretty insane, that the same exact station at KSN 16 and KODE and everyone's been great. Everyone has been amazing to start off. I know there's a different crew now than there was when you started, but I just want to know what that transition was like, the interview process, applying. I'm sure it was similar to just like myself, just trying to find as many leads as possible, trying to see what was open, networking, all that. So talk about that process and then your first few days on the job.
Yeah, I applied to so many jobs that I just was like, I don't know which job is contacting me because yeah. There wasn't any bites. Like it was, I wasn't getting any interest at all. And so it was like, oh man, am I ever going to be able to get work? So when I did get an email back, I'm like, okay, where is this from? And so, at first it was, the news director who was there at the time, Lisha Beard. So she contacted me, I think it was via email. She wanted to get my phone number. She wanted to gauge my interest and see if I was still interested in the job. And so that was the first person I talked with I want to clarify. I think the first person I ended up talking to was the sports director, Eric Connect, at the time. So I talked with the sports director. He called me. I was on the train. So I was getting out of the train and going to the World Trade Center, where the SNY studios were presumably going to work. I get out the train and I see a phone number. It's from Joplin, Missouri. I'm like, Joplin, Missouri. Oh, this must be a job, because why would someone from Joplin, Missouri be calling me unless they're trying? I guess nowadays they just scan your phone, but back then, it's only 7 years. They're probably gauging your interest in seeing a job. So I answer the phone. We talked for about an hour, and it was awesome. It was great to finally have someone reach out to me and gauge my interest. And of course, I was just trying to say the right things just to make sure that these people understand that I am interested. I really, and at the time, I didn't want to be in New York anymore. So I've been there, done that. I lived there for 22 years. There's nothing for me to do here unless I come back for the job. So I wanted to be able to get out. And so I was super eager. And then I got on the phone with Lisha Beard just days later, and we talked over the phone, and she ran through what the contract would look like and everything like that. Of course, you don't get paid much, when you're starting out in market 153. So it's like one of those deals where you kind of just accept, and then you, whatever you do, what you got to do to make sure you're okay, making ends meet and everything. But aside from that, I get the job. I had to, my mom really wanted me to think about it because I was moving to the country, not making much in terms of salary, but the offer was there. And so I only had a few days to accept because they had other applicants and other people that they wanted to talk to. And so I remember going to Bethlehem, Pennsylvania, where my sister lives with her longtime boyfriend and her son. And I had maybe one conversation with my sister about it. I went to bed that night. I was up at midnight, 1 in the morning, and I just pressed yes. And so I was on my way to Joplin. The next morning, I was like, I accepted the job. And they're like, what? I thought you were going to take more time. And I was like, no, this is it for me. This is what we're doing. And so the next phone call was kind of logistics with the sports director. What days should I start and all that stuff. And then within like 2 or 3 weeks, I was on the road. I was going to Joplin. I had everything secure, place to live. Ended up being right there on Cleveland Avenue in Joplin, right there. And there's that little duplex. If you're driving to the station, there's a little duplex. There's a little apartment complex. And then right next to it, there's a little duplex. Mm-hmm. And I'd be in that little duplex for a couple years, while I was in Joplin. And so, and then the first few weeks, I got there in March, so, late March. So everything was, kind of quieting down. Baseball season had just started. And so we were full on with the local baseball scene. For those who may not know, Joplin has two area big time Division II colleges, Missouri Southern State and Pittsburgh State University. And so we went there and we covered that heavily. I remember those were some of my first stories. And I think my first package was on a Webb City University, Webb City High School runner. So it was just, it was super cool just to start doing what I always wanted to do. And so, and then in that market, you're going to get a lot of reps. You're going to, the sports director takes a vacation, the weekends at the time it was, I think it's a little different now, but at the time there's two different stations, two different newscasts, two different sports casts. So, the number twos got a bunch of repetitions. And so, especially on the weekends. And so, that's what my first couple of years were like. It was just running around, getting a bunch of local content, drove a lot of miles. You went to a lot of high schools. You went to Missouri Southern and Pittsburgh State, went to some of the local junior colleges and got content from them and networked and met the people within the community. And it was really cool. What a great experience that was, just to immerse yourself in a community, particularly one that has good, awesome Midwestern values like Joplin, Missouri. Joplin's a small town. People know each other just because they live right down the street from each other. It's one of those deals where you can't escape people because they kind of know everyone. So even if they don't, if you don't know someone indirectly, they know you because they know your parents or they know a friend of friend. And it's such a small town that people just love each other because they know who you are, who your family is. And so it was great to immerse yourself in a community like that and they really like their local news people. They see them as trusted individuals, also as individuals who are willing, particularly the veterans, people who've been there for a long time, who really have bought into their community. So they really are trusting of the local news people, which is really great for anybody who is starting out.
Yeah. And for me growing up in Johnston, Rhode Island, a small town in the small state in the country, it was kind of similar. Like that's how it was for me growing up. And until I left, everybody knew everybody, or everybody knew of someone that knew you, or whatever the case was, like you mentioned. It was very, very similar. And I haven't got that yet just because I haven't really been out there yet. I've only been on the job for a few days. My first day was actually Monday. So right now I'm just getting acclimated with all the systems. And I'm very obviously familiar with Premiere and editing and all that, just getting used to how a rundown works as far as throwing stuff in there and whatnot. So once I get into a rhythm, I'm very excited to go out there and start doing stuff. But for yourself, what was your welcome to the industry moment in Joplin? Like you're down there, you're covering stories and it's like, wow, I'm really here. And it's not like home. It's very different.
Well, I think they started doing promos. I remember I was never expecting it, but every anchor gets a promo. So it's like they shoot it. There's a green screen where the weather people do their stuff. They shoot you in a green screen. They tell you to do a bunch of different things, smile to this camera, turn around and look like this, all that stuff. And they were, so then all of a sudden one day I just saw my promo. I was like, oh, wow, this is super cool. Like, I never had a promo before. Like that was awesome. So, and then you have little moments where you fail, and where you make mistakes and all that stuff. Those kind of count too, as much as you want to pop up your successes, even higher are your failures. I think that's my biggest welcome to the industry moment was anytime that I flubbed, in Joplin you have, I don't know if it's still the case at the station anymore, but you have, 15, 16, 17 year olds working behind the scenes. And so just because they're human, and they're young, and some of them are working for the first time in any capacity at a TV station, they'll be running prompter, doing audio and all that stuff. You have to learn how to adjust and kind of deal with mistakes. And so that was certainly some of the early kind of deals for me was, you know, learning how to adjust, especially when people were making mistakes, and not get too flustered and understand that all this is a growth and learning experience, and how you take it is how your career will progress. And so I was, you know, super open to making mistakes. I think that's another big thing is you have to be open to making mistakes, you know, because they're going to happen. So how do you, you know, kind of give yourself grace and understand that this is going to happen and just go out and just focus on rep by rep by rep, you know? So those were the few things that I saw. First, I saw promos, kept making mistakes. And then people will come up to you during games or just around town, and they would say really nice things about the work that you're doing. I thought that was another thing that was kind of like, whoa, wow. No, now this is serious. Like, people are noticing me, and they're noticing that we're trying to do positive work.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I can't wait to get in the rhythm of that. You know, obviously a lot of like local stuff is like big down here. On the 4-state sports report, but for you, obviously, and for myself too, I'll start be covering the Chiefs, like bigger end stuff. That's like the dream and the goal at the end of the day, is to work your way up to that. So when they ran highlights, or when you would have the opportunities to go down there, talk about those first few times, what that was like for you, one, adjusting, and two, just being in those atmospheres, or even just sitting in the studio being able to talk about that.
It was awesome having the Chiefs in the beginning of their kind of heyday. So I was, so my first year at KSN was the first year Patrick Mahomes started for Kansas City as their quarterback. And so we go up to St. Joe, and it's just every time that Mahomes speak, it's like packed with media, like just, you know, from, and of course, like you have so many different people that cover the Chiefs, because there's such a big regional team. You have the people from St. Joseph, Missouri, where they practice, they cover the Chiefs. They have people from Joplin coming up, they cover the Chiefs. You have people from Kansas and different places in Kansas, whether it's Topeka or Manhattan or whatever, that they're covering the Chiefs because it's a, you know, kind of a big local team. Columbia, they're covering the Chiefs because Columbia, Missouri is, you know, is Chiefs country too. So, it was a lot of media there. I remember that's the first time I was like, wow, this is a big, big area. And this is what a professional sports team, this is how they're covered. I had never seen that in person. So that was pretty cool. And so I go there, I went to training camp a couple of years over in St. Joe. It was a lot of fun, you know, just to get to watch a couple of days of training camp and see how a professional team works. I had never been to anything with a professional team in my life. And so, it was actually a really, really cool experience that I will remember forever. And then, of course, you know, on a weekly basis, you know, you don't go up to from Joplin to Kansas City is 2.5 hours. So you don't go to Kansas City very often, but you run their highlights because the Chiefs are big in that western side of the state. It's a very Kansas City centric area. Of course, St. Louis has some pull, but it's a lot of Kansas City stuff. And so Chiefs, of course, were coming off a year. They made the playoffs again, had a dud. But then Patrick Mahomes comes, and then they start this run that they're still on where they go to all these AFC championships. And it was a lot of fun that first year to see them kind of rise. And, you know, then you can add that, incorporate that into your highlights. And then, of course, they lose to the Patriots, but then the next year they end up winning the Super Bowl. So that was a lot of fun to be able to go and have basically for 4 years, first 2 years when I was in Joplin, and 2 years I was in Columbia, for 4 straight years during football season, I can pencil in the Chiefs for about 3 minutes in my sports cast, which is pretty cool. It makes a lot easier to produce.
Were there any other professional teams that you covered at KSN, or was it just Chiefs?
Yeah, just the Chiefs was the biggest one. We never made it to Royals, and of course St. Louis is four and a half hours from Joplin, so you never really get to go to St. Louis. I remember I think my sports director ended up going either to St. Louis or Kansas City to do something Royals, but we never went and covered anyway. And at the time, the Cardinals were good, but the Royals were on this downward trend. From, you know, they had come off that World Series in 2015, And by the time we got to 2018 and 2019, they were in rough shape. That's when they started to have bad teams and firing managers and all that stuff. And so it was just a different time. Kind of the contrast between the Chiefs and the Royals is crazy. The Chiefs were going crazy and winning the Super Bowl, and the Royals were on the opposite end, nowhere near the postseason.
Yeah, and after your contract was up, I think you were there for about like 2 years, 2018 to 2020. That again, I talk a lot about mindset and like what you're thinking at that time. That's like one of my main themes as far as like asking guest questions. But again, a different change. Like you ended up going to a different station, but before you knew you were going there, obviously you signed a 2 year contract. What is the headspace like for you thinking, am I gonna stay? Am I gonna go somewhere else? Like, what was that time like?
Well, I knew I needed to, not that I needed to get out of job, but that I wanted to get out of job. And I thought that I had done everything that I could in terms of growing as a sportscaster. I felt that I had outgrown Joplin, Missouri. And so I wanted to at the very least just a change of scenery, just to get out and do something different. And so that was my mindset. I was kind of committed to it, from the jump. I said, you know what? I don't know if I want to stay here. This is not really my vibe. I just want to go out and do something new. And so, again, there's that applying process, and then I get the interview with Rod Smith at KRCG in Jefferson City, Missouri, and that. That's and I was sold from the start. I was like, oh, this would be cool, college, real college town, SEC, Mizzou, a chance to go and still be able to cover some of the pro teams because you're smack dab in the middle of the state. So you have the Cardinals 2 hours away from Columbia, and then you have the Chiefs and the Royals 2 hours away from Columbia on the other side. And so I was like, oh, this would be great. This would be an awesome experience and everything. And so I was committed to leaving. I knew that I was going to. The toughest conversation was talking to the news director. News directors, they want you to stay. One of the things that they don't want to have to continuously do is hire. It's particularly in the small areas where turnover is pretty constant. It wasn't a very long conversation, but it was a very tough conversation telling them I had the job and that I had to leave, because I just wanted something else for my career, something different, something new. And so I ended up going to Columbia, but of course I go to Jefferson City, Columbia, amidst one of the world's worst pandemics in the history, and it was horrible. It was just a horrible thing to kind of adjust to. But we made it through.
Yeah, and you spent 2 years there as well. And a lot of these people in the sports industry climb the ranks. That's like the biggest thing about everyone's career that I've seen, being able to interview people almost on a weekly basis on this podcast. Not only athletes, but for what I wanted to do before I got my job, of course, and my start was just interviewing people like yourself, seeing how they climb the ranks and seeing like where the different spots that they landed, and all it's all around the country. You never know where you're gonna go. But you stayed in Missouri. Your ne next job after that is the job that you're at right now at Fox 2 in St. Louis. I just wanted to ask you what attracted you so much to stay in Missouri and kind of stay in the area. I mean, obviously you're around the state, you're bouncing up and down 4 hours away from where you started, but you're still in Missouri, coming from New York City, or from Queens. Just talk about what attracted you to stay in Missouri and now, of course, at your job with Fox 2 in St. Louis.
First things first, I really like Missouri. Missouri is very good. People are very nice. You're not too far away from big cities. Columbia is right in the middle of the state. That's a college town, and during the school year, it's bumping with basketball, with football, and all that stuff. And then you have St. Louis and Kansas City. St. Louis and Kansas City are on the opposite ends of the state, and they're less than 5 hours in between. It's a 4 hour, 4.5 hour drive from each other. And so pretty easy to get to big cities, and you're also kind of centrally located. You're not too far away from Iowa, you're not too far away from Kansas, you're not too far away from Illinois. And so like here in St. Louis, you're hours and change from Chicago, which is a cool drive. Like, I've done it a couple of times. I visited a couple of friends, broadcast friends, even from Joplin, who are from the Chicago area. And so it was one of those deals where, you know, it's a good state to be in. I really enjoyed my time in Missouri, and it just made the most sense to me that, you know, if I was going to make a couple of moves, if I could make it in state, that'd be great. And then the most important reason was because I ended up meeting my wife. I met my wife when I was working in Joplin. We started dating there. We were away apart for a time, dating distance when I was in Columbia. And then she ended up moving to St. Louis when right after we got married. And so she wanted to stay close to her family. She felt that it was important for her to, you know, kind of stay kind of in a good distance away, so she can be able to go see her mother and her family. And so that was obviously a big factor in me kind of sticking around in this, just to kind of make our relationship work and be committed to her and to what we were trying to build together.
Yeah, and not only as a reporter, but as a person as well. How do you feel like you've grown in every aspect since the move from New York to Missouri? Of course, like you said, your wife now, you met in Missouri. I do the long distance as well with my girlfriend. She's down in Rhode Island, about 20 hours away. So it's a lot, but like you grow and you learn to adjust and everything like that, and everything works out for yourself. Just talk about that. How do you feel like you've grown?
Well, first I want to know how she's doing. Is she okay? I know it's a recent move, so I guess it's kind of fresh. Is she okay? Is she
doing? Yeah, she's doing great. She loves to listen in on the podcast that I do. And of course, once I'm on TV and I get my start in my first few days, or first few weeks, I should say, she's following along on the journey. You know, she's got one more year of school left. And then hopefully if I'm still here or if I'm somewhere else, she'll be following me wherever I'm at. She wants to be a teacher. So it won't be too hard for her to get a job, but she's on board. And that's all you can ask for.
Oh, you got to love supportive of significant others. That's awesome to hear.
For sure.
I hear about that, Cam. As for me, you know, growing, you know, I've certainly grown as a person. You know, how can you not from 22 to 29? Like, you know, just as a, you know, from your everyday, things you're just going to learn as a human being, mistakes you're going to learn, not only in your job, but in life, you know, whether it's with money, whether it's with people and relationships and all that stuff. I've grown significantly. First things first, I feel like, for me, I kind of accepted the fact that you need to be humble, and you can't be kind of so full of yourself that you're going to turn people off, you know? Mm-hmm. And so that's one of the biggest things that I learned early on was, you know, no, are you all that? No, you're not all that. You're in market 153. There are people who are in market one, market two, who have had not as long careers, but are significantly better than who you are. So you need to check yourself. And that's one of the biggest things that I wanted to make sure is that if I'm going to do something, I'm going to give it 150%, but I'm also going to walk with pride and integrity and with my head held high. So I always said, no, I'm not going to, I learned early on that you can't be full of yourself. And so I choose to be humble and to give others gratitude when they're doing great. And I think the biggest change for me was in terms of being a human being. You can be good to and kind to anybody you are interacting with. You know, there are a lot of people that you meet within this job, whether it's, you know, the food vendors over in Busch Stadium or the high school janitor over in Joplin. You're going to meet so many different people from so many different walks of life. Everybody wants the same thing. They want for themselves and for their families to be successful and great. And that's the ultimate thing is, you know, your journey as a person and your growth as a person to, you know, make sure you understand all different types of walks of life, types of people who you're going to deal with. They're not always going to be great, but you learn that, you know, everyone's kind of on the same mission is to make sure that their lives are as good as possible. And so you need to be kind as possible to people.
Yeah, and it's super inspiring for me to see your journey, for me to see where you're at, starting in the same market as me now. And that's why you're in the position you're at right now with Fox 2. And I wanted to know firsthand if those responsibilities are any different from the previous positions you've had being on air.
For sure. It is that's probably the going to St. Louis is the biggest jump. I mean, it's the big leagues. I mean, you get down here and, you know, everyone is good. No one messes up. So you know that you have to step your game up. You know, all the veteran reporters seem to ask the right question at the right time, in the right moment. And you're like, wow, I didn't even think of that. Now I got to start thinking about that. Like, it was one of those deals where you knew that it was a jump in terms of talent and in terms of level. Now you have to really work to be able to either get to or sustain a level that's good enough for it to be acceptable in a market like this. And so I knew right away that I had a lot of learning to do. And a lot of growth. You know, I thought I had grown a lot from when I started in Joplin to when I ended in Columbia, but boy, did I need to take some leaps if I was going to be successful in this market. And super grateful that they've given me a lot of grace. They've given me a lot of time to be able to hone my skills. And I think a lot of positive reinforcement early that was super helpful for me, because, you know, you can get down on yourself if you're not performing well. Or at least you don't think you're performing well early on. And I think that's for anybody in any walk of life. You know, you always want to impress when you're going to a new area and a new job. And so, but people were super, super helpful and positive when I first started there. And so that was great. And in terms of my responsibilities, my responsibilities got even much more. You know, before you're covering the local high school, I remember running around, I was in Columbia with KRCG. Man, I was running around getting high school, sometimes four or five high school games a night, running around doing that. No time really to actually focus on reporting or anything like that. To no fault of anybody, that's just what that station's mission was to be able to do comprehensive coverage of high school sports, which I personally enjoyed. But then you get to St. Louis and you need to become a reporter. You need to go into clubhouses and talk to professional baseball players. You know, how do I gain enough credibility to be able to ask Nolan Arenado a question? Like, that was one of the things that I had to think about early on. And so the responsibilities changed. The stakes got a little higher because you are in a bigger place and in a place as knowledgeable as St. Louis. And so you had to rise to the occasion. And so for me, my work the last couple of years has been, how can I be the best version of myself today and get better for tomorrow, so that way our station could continue to perform well.
Do you have a welcome to St. Louis moment you remember, a specific story that you're like, all right, I'm in the big league?
First live hit, man. Yeah. It was a back and forth talk with my sports director. Of course, my sports director is about maybe 7-8 inches taller than me. And so, like, you know, and the, most people have different philosophies. I always say, if you're short, you're short, man. Just kind of flaunt it. It's okay. Mm-hmm. You know, they'll like you for who you are if you just accept who you are. And so I was standing next to him. He's like 7-8 inches tall. I'm like looking up at him like this, like, you know, my head kind of cocked back, looking up at him. And then I'm like stumbling and bumbling to a VOSAT that I was doing. And then they post it on the website. They post it on the website for all of its flaws, for all of St. Louis to be able to see forever. That was a welcome to St. Louis moment for me. But it's, again, it's one of those deals where, you know, I look back at it that night, my sports director said, I know you were nervous, but it's okay. We'll get you there. You just need to come to work every day, come ready. And so I was super happy to hear that they weren't disgusted that I was terrible. But you know, now even that is just, it's a world of a difference 2 years later. So that was pretty, it's a memorable moment for sure.
You look back on that, and now you look at where you are 2 years later. What's been your most memorable or coolest moment you've been able to cover?
So that first season, I was covering baseball in St. Louis's Albert Pujols last year, with the Cardinals. Came back for that one year and all that stuff. And he went bananas in the second half. He hit like 20 home runs and finished with like 26 home runs on the year. It was pretty awesome to see someone's final act. I think the coolest moment, I was in Busch Stadium for it was his last game against the Cubs. I forget which home run it was. It might have been 689, 690, one of those two. He had his, it was getting used on the chase for 700. And so I was in the building. He hit the game winning home run against the Cubs. It was his final game against the Cubs. Of course, Cardinals Cubs is a major rivalry. So this is kind of Albert's last act against the Cubs. It's this game winning eighth inning home run against the Cubs. And the Busch Stadium, it was at least 42,000 people in Busch Stadium, not a seat in the house. Everybody in the stadium is standing. And when a pitch is thrown, you can't hear, there's no one breathing. You can hear a pin drop. It was the craziest moment I've ever been in. It was super cool. Everybody was just focused on whichever pitch was coming at that moment. And when he hit the home run against the Cubs, the place went absolutely berserk. It was incredible. It was just such great theater. That was his last moment against the Cubs. He hit the home run. The entire crowd was so into it. And of course, the Cardinals ended up going to win the division that year. They made the postseason. So that was one of the more memorable St. Louis moments that I've had.
Yeah, and you've done so much in such a little time. You look back at where you started in New York, now where you're at in St. Louis. And it's, for again, I say it a lot, it's inspiring to see that I guess you climbing the ladder and all the people that I've talked to and how they maneuver in and out of jobs, connect with other people. And you said it all goes back to just being a good person. So I appreciate you hopping on, Kevin. The last thing I want to ask you is one piece of advice to the younger generation. And if you could tell your younger self first starting off in Joplin something that you know now, what would it be?
Yeah. In terms of the just the kind of daily, just be a good person and be humble and treat people like you want to be treated. I think most people can sniff out a bad person, but they'll appreciate a good person and they'll want that good person in your life. So always be just decent. In terms of professionally, man, just keep working. Just keep, it's not going to be perfect ever. It's not going to be perfect at first. You may doubt yourself. You may doubt your abilities, but if you keep working at it, then it's all going to fall in place. And if you're committed to doing what you're doing, you will get to where you want to be or where you are supposed to be in your life. Now, where you want to be and where you're supposed to be may not be the same thing. It may not happen on that same timeline, but that's okay too, because not everyone's timeline is perfect. We talked about Drew Carter. Drew Carter on a national scale, just a handful of years out of college, right? Super, super awesome. You know, that wasn't supposed to be for me. And that's okay. That doesn't mean that won't happen for me. Maybe it won't. And that's okay too. But just know that whatever trajectory you're on is the right trajectory, no matter what. So just stay true to the process. And the process may not even be in broadcasting. It may be in some other capacity that you find out about because you're doing broadcasting. You may fall in love with something else, and that's okay too, because life, it isn't just one straight narrow path. Everything is cyclical and has its different journeys, and just take the journey that is lining up for you and do what you want to do with your life.
Kevin, thanks so much, man. I appreciate you for hopping on Campus Corner. It was a pleasure being able to talk to you. Again, I always end off every episode. Cam's One Corner on all social medias. Do you want to plug any social medias for the fans to follow?
Yeah. I have Instagram and X. Keep calling it Twitter, but it's X.
Mm-hmm.
It's at official Kev Rye. Give a follow. Not the biggest poster, but when I do, it's of my content. And so, or of my dogs, or of my wife,
right.
Family. So the more people that hop on board and see the positive things that I'm trying to show out here in St. Louis, whatever stories and such, the better off, of course, I would be, and the better off I hope that you will be. And hopefully that maybe inspires somebody else to either do what I want to do or to maybe do good in this world.
Go give Kevin a follow, guys. Keep following along on Cam's Corner. Kev, one more time, thank you so much for hopping on, and we'll see you guys in the next episode.
Thank you so much.